Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
My dog is here.
I was going to say, it sounds like we have a friend on the podcast today.
Yeah, she was acting weird. Hello.
Does she want to be on the show?
I don't think she does, I think. But she's going to be now.
Well, she's welcome. This is quality podcast.
That's her. Yeah,
right,
Dogcast. Hello, welcome to the Dogcast.
All podcasts are Dogcasts if you do them right.
Well, I don't know. You work at home. The dog sometimes comes in and acts weird. It happens.
Not here. If it does, then something is very wrong.
Actually, I had something in my throat, and I was clearing my throat, and she reacted to that, and I think she thinks I was mad at her.
Aw. Dog.
No, I was actually just clearing my throat. Oh, well. What's going on? You snowed in?
Not exactly. I mean, the snow, that was a couple days ago. We're cleared out for the most part. I went out to the coffee shop today, so I'm free.
Good for you.
I did shovel out my car. We've discussed shoveling in the past, but I did find out that there was a large amount of, you know, we had joked, I think it was it on Clockwise? Were we joking about shoveling water?
Yes.
And I actually had to do that because there was a large puddle of water underneath my car, and that is unfortunately doesn't work very well. I think perhaps the ice had probably frozen over whatever, like the street drains, essentially. And so the snow had melted and just kind of turned into a puddle.
Didn't have anywhere to go.
Exactly. And it did rain after it snowed, which helped, you know, get rid of some of the volume of snow, but also turned a lot of it into ice. So that's always exciting.
Yeah, that sounds not fun at all.
No, it was not fun at all. But I think I can get my car out if I really needed to. Fortunately, I don't really need to, so we're okay on that front.
You can just walk to the coffee shop, so that's not a problem.
Exactly. Where else do I really need to go?
Yeah. Sounds good. What's going on? We still don't know if there are going to be new iPads or something anytime soon. Don't know that.
Mm-mm. Nope. I'm kind of feeling like, later on this year, I feel like I want to buy a new iMac. I've kind of held off, and like the one I'm using is fine, but I'm getting frustrated with it. It seems to have some slowdowns and some weird behavior. And yeah, clearly the right answer there is throw it out and get a new one, right? I don't know. I know a lot of people keep their, like, we have two, there are a couple classes of people, right? Like, there are people who acquire and hold on to vintage hardware for some sort of sentimental value. I think of Stephen Hackett and John Maltz as people who have a lot of old hardware sitting around because they either can't bear to part with it or because that is a hobby with them. I don't have much old hardware. I've become much more mercenary about my hardware over the years.
Too.
And so I do have, like, I have a Power Mac G3 sitting here, blue and white, and that's, like, the only, I think, old Mac I have lying around. Everything else is in active usage. And so I feel bad because I have, like, a Mac here that's from 2011, and it's fine for a lot of tasks. I could use an upgrade, especially for some of the stuff I do, like podcast editing. It would be a little snappier for sure. But it's at that age where it's, like, it's kind of too old to, like, give to someone else. Like, I don't think it's better than
how
any
old
of the
is
computers.
It?
It's a 2011, so it's like 6
oh,
years
geez.
Old.
Well, no, I
but it's functional, and so it pains me to get rid of functional hardware.
You'd be surprised. I would say you live in a place that's swarming with, like, college students and stuff.
Mm, true.
You'd be surprised. Somebody would probably buy it from you for a small amount of money. I sold an 8-year-old laptop that, granted, I put in my mom's old laptop. I put in an SSD instead of the hard drive, and I maxed out the RAM. But, you know, it was still a really old MacBook Pro. But you know what? There was a high school kid who wanted it and got it for pretty cheap. And so, you know, basically like the cost of the SSD, honestly. So you might be surprised. You might be able to find somebody on like Craigslist or something just to buy it.
I guess that's possible. Cause it's not, it's like, it's a pretty good iMac too, because it's got a, I sprung for the, this is a leftover from Macworld actually. Mm. And I got them spring for the i7, and I put some more RAM in it. It's got like a primary SSD in it. Like it's not part of that is why it's lasted so long is because it was a more powerful machine when we got it. But you know, it has definitely started to show its age a bit. It's not a Retina display. In fact, it's a display which I mentioned before has a little blue line up part of it, which
is delightful.
Kind of kills your resale a little bit, but it's not that bad. You get used to it. But it's just, it started chugging on a few things. And, you know, I feel like a nice big Retina iMac would be a nice addition to my hardware. But I'm kind of one of those people who like with, you know, cars, I like to run them into the ground. Not physically, but, you know, emotionally.
I don't keep old stuff around either. It's funny. I don't have a museum of it. I've never really lived any place that I felt like I had extra space for stuff like that. And I'm not interested in having like a storage locker or something. Like John Syracuse has got his attic. You know, Andy Anatko's got a storage locker. Stephen Hackett, I don't even know, has a very, very patient family and now some space in his office that he's using. But I just don't keep that around. I've got a original Mac, you know, or it might be a 512, but it looks just the same in my office here. But that's about it. I don't know. Getting a new computer is always a challenge, right? You want to hold off as long as you can, but the new stuff is fun, so you want to take advantage of the new stuff if you can. And I mean, all of these reports about the new iPads, I feel the same way, which is, it's funny. We speculate about iPad longevity and how long people hold on to an iPad. And I can tell you, as somebody who bought an iPad Pro in December of 2015, I'm fascinated about these new iPads, but I'm not going to buy one.
I'm on the other end of that spectrum, which is I have an Air 2, and so I am absolutely in the market, especially if there's a 10.5-inch model. I'm psyched for that. Yeah, I feel like every few years, it's a pretty solid, you know, there's a reason to upgrade. And I don't always buy the latest. Like, sometimes I wait for, you know, depending on how substantial the upgrade is, if it pushes down the older models in price. I've bought older models just because I was like, oh, you know, hey, this is now $100 cheaper, and it does most of what I want it to do, right? Like, there was no desire for me to upgrade to the 9.7-inch Pro from the iPad Air 2 because the upgrades were minimal. Like, they existed, but none of them affected things that I do, right? I don't need a wider color gamut. I don't need pencil support. Like, those things are fine, but they're not gonna drive me to upgrade. But a 10.5-inch display, I feel like that adds some potential there for just, like, I get a little jealous of the 12.9. I don't want an iPad that big, but a bigger screen is definitely attractive.
This is the constant challenge when deciding to buy stuff is, what do you do? When is it time to say goodbye? When is the right time to buy? There's always another one coming, right? There's always another one a year out, year and a half out, that's going to be better, unless it's a Mac Pro.
I don't mind sitting on those things for a while too, like you said. Like, if an update comes along and it's like, yeah, that's fine, like, there's no reason to run out and buy it just because it's the newest thing. I usually find that if I wait a week or two after an Apple announcement anyways, it's like, oh yeah, the reality distortion field has evaporated and I feel like I can judge it more on its merits.
Yeah, well, there's that initial excitement, especially if we're writing about them, right? There's that
new things.
Yeah, right. And then you get so here's the thing. I have a MacBook Air 11 from 2013. It is a mid 2013. It's got the i7 processor, and it doesn't have Retina, but you know what? It's pretty great. Like, it's still it still does literally everything that I want to do. When I need a mobile Mac, it does. Mm-hmm. I can edit. I can and have edited many, many podcasts and Logic in it. Works great. And so I look at this and I just think, like, I mean, this is the source of my question about, will I buy another Mac laptop ever, or am I just going to be happy with iPads from here on out? And that may be the case. But the reality is, this isn't forcing the issue because the MacBook Air is still great. And it's coming up, 4 years old?
Yeah. I've got a 2014 model, so a little bit newer than yours, but it's similar experience. It's great. I would not trade that in for any of the MacBooks on the market right now. To me, this is the best option available. It's small, it's light, it's full featured, but like it straddles that line of like the current new MacBook is too light and a little too wimpy, and I don't really want the keyboard. And the new MacBook Pro is too heavy and a little too much overkill for me, since it's not like my only computer. But yeah, so that's the 11-inch Air is going to stay around until it dies an ignominious death. And if my iMac has showed us anything, it's got several years left in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just fine. I mean, and to your point about the reality distortion field, I mean, if there's an awesome new update to the MacBook that comes out, which is the successor really to this little MacBook Air, I'm going to be like, "Oh, look at that." But I'm not going to buy it. Like, I'll be really interested in it, but I'm not going to buy it, cuz I don't use the Air very much anymore other than when I travel anyway. And yeah, I suppose it might be nicer to have a new MacBook for travel because it's Retina and all of that, but it's not going to be that much better than what I've got. And so I'm going to hang on to it. Now, I realize there are other people who buy new stuff all the time. There are people like our friend and former colleague, Dan Frakes, who he got very good at buying new stuff, and he would keep all the boxes and everything and put his devices in like cases and stuff. And the whole game with Dan Frakes to this day, I'm sure, is resale. So Dan was a resale guy, which is a little bit like leasing your hardware, where, you know, he'd keep a computer for a year or two and then sell it and buy a new computer. And so the extra cost, he wasn't paying full price and then rolling down that old computer. He was just, you know, he was selling the depreciated cost of that computer. And that's another way to do it. I've never been one of those people who wants to keep all the boxes and stuff like that.
Well, that's been my iPad game for the last few years, is selling and just like via like Gazelle or a service like that, just being like, oh yeah, this iPad, hey, I can turn that around and sell it for, you know, 100-200 bucks, even if it's a couple of years old, because I tend to take pretty good care of them and keep them in good condition, and that, you know, that's a 100-200 bucks towards a new iPad, right? Which is like, you know, a big chunk of the cost.
I had that. I just last year, I bought a refurb iPad Air 2 when the beta of multitasking came out. So I guess that's iOS 9 beta, so that would have been summer of 15. And about a year later, I sold it because I should have sold it even sooner because I got the iPad Pro. But I held on to it for a little while and then realized, like, I have nobody this in my family to hand it down to.
Right.
Lauren already has one, an iPad Air 2. And my, you know, Jamie doesn't want it, and Julian's got an iPad Mini that he likes, and he has actually got an iPad Air 2 that is the school 1-to-1 program iPad, so he's already got two, thank you very much. So I just sold it. I actually sold it on Amazon, back to Amazon for Amazon credit. And it wasn't, you know, a whole lot of money, but it was like, all right, you know, if you did the math, it's like I had that iPad for a year and a half and used it for what I needed to use it for. And then I got some percentage of that money back to buy something else. Great.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, especially with the iOS devices, which are so fungible in terms of like you do a restore, you know, from iCloud or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like back in a working condition in like an hour, and it's hard.
It's a lot easier than a Mac. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot easier than
I mean, we've all been in an Apple store where they've said, we need to swap this out, right? And you just erase it and put in your data on the new one. And by the time you get to your car, you know, you've got your phone back. I mean, it's
right.
Maybe not quite that simple, but close to it.
Close to it, yeah. And within a day or so, like all your apps have re-downloaded and whatever. So it's like you never even left. Yeah, but with the Mac is definitely a harder issue there. I was thinking, actually, that reminded me of last night. Even more complicated. I accidentally, and as accidental as you can be with this sort of thing, but I saw a message as I was in my my Linode server that I needed to upgrade. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should do that. And I did that and didn't realize quite how substantial an upgrade it was. And it totally broke like my entire website, everything on the machine. And so I spent a while like trying to patch it back up, like piecemeal, like, oh, I've got this error code now. Google that. See what that means. Oh, wait, that led me to this error code. And I spent probably a solid half an hour working on that, and then realized, oh wait, I bought the backups option a few weeks back. I'm just gonna roll this entire thing back to the older version. And I did that, and it was so much easier than trying to troubleshoot like those like crazy errors all over the place. So I think about that still when it's like dealing with my Mac, which is I have set up so many things and made so many little tweaks over the years that I'm not sure what impact any of those are having now, because I know that I've like set up terminal commands or installed utilities or whatever that probably have altered some of like the system files. And it's like, I have no idea. So like, when we've discussed this before, like, what do you do when you get a new one? Do you copy it over? Do you use the migration assistant? Do you do a clone? And honestly, at this point, I feel like maybe I should just go the next time I upgrade, just do like a clean sweep route and start from scratch, because I'm sure that this iMac is full of crufty junk.
Yeah, I was looking today, and I have an app that's misbehaving, and I actually don't know why it's misbehaving, and it's still misbehaving. I've emailed the developer, and it just gives me beach ball.
And then
it starts working again, and then it beach balls, and then it starts working again. And
Safari was doing that for me today, and I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, this is weird because this is Mailplane, so it's a web view. But I could load Gmail in Safari and Chrome, and it was just fine. It was literally just in Mailplane that it was behaving this way, which is super weird. And it doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't. It's just a web view. It shouldn't beach ball at all.
Right.
And I looked in the console, and I thought, and this turned out to not be the cause of the beach ball. But I looked in the console, which is a utility that people don't know about because it's super scary and you shouldn't know about it. But I went in there and I searched for Mailplane to see what errors were being thrown to the console. And it said it had repeated references to a keychain it was trying to unlock. Or it might not have been even trying. It might have been simply like, check the keychain. And then the keychain said, I have two keychains. I have this keychain that is the system keychain, and I have this other keychain. But the other keychain is amazing, because this other keychain path that it was looking for is, I am not kidding you, my home folder /documents/Eudora folder /attachments2003, which is where I saved my email attachments from Eudora in the year 2003, some name of a keychain. Why there was a keychain there at all, I don't know. How it got created, I have no idea. Maybe
it's a good thing you have your 2003 attachments from Eudora, because I'm sure those come in handy.
That's the thing. I don't. That folder isn't there. But it's looking for it there.
That's the error.
And that's the error. And so I had that moment where I thought, again, I don't think this has anything to do with what's going on with my installation of Mailplane, but I did have that moment of like, this is what you get when you migrate instead of starting from scratch. You get all the convenience of having your stuff where you expect it to be and not have that thing where you're like, oh, wow, I used to have a thing that did this and I don't remember where I got it. Or like, that happened to me one time where I was like, I have this Apple script and now it doesn't work. And I was like, oh, but it uses this Apple script plugin that I found on some French website. And how do I find it? Right. The downside, though, is you have weird stuff that gets in there where somehow some database for Apple's keychain stuff really thinks that I have a keychain in my 2003 Eudora attachments folder, which does not exist and has not existed for like a decade.
Right. Well, and it's tough sometimes, even with console, trying to track down those bugs. I had this persistent one on my Mac Mini, which is sort of my home server, where I had not upgraded to Sierra. I had left it on LCAP because I tend to be sort of slow about upgrading it. And I started encountering a few months ago this really weird bug where this process, I don't even know how I found out that this was causing the problem, but like basically the network connections would like slow to a crawl, trying to get into that machine trying to do anything. They would just totally get glacial. And I was trying to figure out what it was, and I stumbled upon this process called SymptomsD, which is apparently connected to the Crash Reporter framework. And I don't know how I decided, like, let me just try killing that process. And sure enough, like, it would fix it immediately. But that process would just constantly keep respawning and, like, killing the network again. And whenever I tried to run, like, certain apps. And I, to this day, I have no idea what was causing it. But I could tell you, like, oh, man, can't access my media stored on my Mac Mini with Plex. Hold on, let me SSH in and kill this process. Zoop, there we go, fixed it. And like any number of things that I would be like, oh, wow, I can't I'm trying to think what the other sort of things that I would every once in a while try, like streaming Sonos stuff off my Mac Mini. Oh, can't find that song. Hold on, let me kill that process. Roop, there it goes. Now it works again. And so I was like banging my head against the wall, looking at console, trying to figure out what this was, searching around. I found like one reference to this process being sort of a runaway issue, but no solution for it. And so last week, finally, when I got back, from my last trip, I was like, all right, I'm taking the plunge. I'm upgrading to Sierra on this machine. And I did, and it fixed it. And I have no idea why, but it did.
Isn't upgrading this great thing that you always hope is going to fix all your problems? I actually literally had that with the Mailplane thing where I thought, maybe I should just update to the Mac OS X beta and see if that does anything. And it's like, will they have fixed my bug? Probably not. Will something completely unrelated to it, but the act of upgrading it possibly reset something that causes it to work right? Maybe.
Clear a cache or move some files around or change some permissions. Like, God only knows what.
Yeah, and it may not, right?
Absolutely.
In fact, it probably won't, but sometimes it does, and that's enough for you to be like, oh, please, 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 let's just give it, what animal do I need to sacrifice in order to get this? And sometimes it doesn't. This will amuse you. I am now looking at my preferences folder in my user library, sorted by date. So,
oh man,
I got a couple files from the year 2000.
Year 2000.
I've got a drop zip preference from Aladdin Systems from September 2001. I have Sherlock preferences, Dan.
Oh no.
I have Sherlock preferences from 2002.
Oh no.
I've got Palm desktop setup from 2002.
So you have been migrating like pretty consistently.
Well, yeah, obviously I have. Yeah. Clearly,
I mean, there's no way this is like only two computers.
And I migrated, I migrated stuff. Yeah, that's
because I'm looking at mine, and the oldest thing in this one is July 2011, which is probably about when I got this computer. So I clearly started fresh on this when I had it, but then again, it also clearly hasn't been cleaned out in almost 6 years.
There's just, I mean, some of this, there's a Mozilla registry, there's Dreamweaver MX Beta 3 preferences from 2002.
You never know when you might need any of these things. Like, someday someone could come to you and be like, I need some Mozilla preferences.
Stuff at Expander.
Like, I got them. Whew.
Just like, this is just some amazing, like, I don't even know what half of this stuff is. Moon Dock, Moon Menu, I don't even know.
That's Moon Knight's preferred operating system.
Yeah, the more stuff at Deluxe, there's a lot of that. Oh, Candy Bar from Panic.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's a classic. Netscape Mozilla, com.netscape.mozilla.plist.
You could have stopped at Netscape, and we...
I know, right? Well, I think it was Mozilla at that point, but it's reverse, you know, preferences format was still com.netscape.mozilla. Yeah, there's some amazing... stuff in here. Pipemare, which was basically one of those pipe linking games.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like Pipe Dream is the one that I always liked. Yeah, this is pretty amazing. I'm still looking in like 2003 Fireworks.
Someday archaeologists will look at your preferences.
Look at my preferences folder. Yeah, they will, and they'll be blown
away. Like, what was
away.
Wrong with this man?
Yeah, why is any of this here? iView Media Pro from 2003. And again, this is where so much of this is coming from, is like 2003. That's just like the Eudora folder. Just, you know, here's the irony. com.brianhill.macjanitor.plist. Mac Janitor, help me. I have a Mac Janitor file from 2003.
Yeah. They would like it back.
Yeah. Anyway, so what I'm saying is that is what I'm dealing with here is maybe this should be don't be like me. Maybe just set something up new. But the problem is you start that and you're like, oh, man, I should migrate my stuff because that's way easier. And it totally is easier. But you also have your Canon digital camera installer plist from 2002.
Yeah, it turns out it's like when you move, right? And you're like, how much stuff should I bring, right? Like, well, is it,
you know what
just
it
have
is?
The
it's that box.
And-
it's that box of stuff you don't think you need, but you don't want to throw it away, so you bring it, and then the next time you move, that box is still there with all the same stuff in it.
Yeah, I have a couple of those boxes sitting in my office. I literally could not tell you, for the most part, what's in them. And then people always say, like, oh, this is the test you should do is if you move into a place, and when you move out, the same box is there and you haven't, like, touched it, just throw it all out because clearly you'll never miss anything in it. But I'm like, but what if I do?
So now that I've revealed that I've been migrating my data for my forever, like including the terms of my employment at IDG, I'm going to – hey, if there's anybody out there who works at IDG, just stop listening now. I'm going to tell you something else, which is for a long time I had I had an Eddie statue in my office. And I had intended on when I was leaving IDG, I wanted to take the Eddie statue with me because they didn't even make them anymore and they weren't giving them away anymore. And I worked on the Eddie program for years and years and years. And on the last day, I couldn't find my Eddie statue. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. And it's one of the, you know, and I was talking to people after the layoff happened and all of that, and everybody was getting their stuff together and all that. And I was talking to Roman Loyola. And he said, I got two Eddie statues. Do you want one? And I said, sure. And so I took the Eddie statue and I was like, all right, I got my Eddie statue. And that, you know, if you look at the Total Party Kill episodes that we've done where it's video, you can see that little Eddie statue behind me. So I was looking for something this week, in all my boxes, including boxes I brought from my office that I, again, have not really opened since I left work at IDG. I just have left them in the boxes. I opened one of the boxes up, Eddie statue right on the top. So now I have two Eddie statues.
Well, it's good. It's good to know they really like you. Or,
wow,
at the very least, that you are so good at stealing things you don't even remember that.
Come and try to take it from me, because I'll be armed with heavy Eddie statues.
And now you can do Eddie statue fencing.
The good news is I can now give out an Eddie award to somebody. At any point, any time, I could just award somebody with an Eddie Award. One Eddie Award.
It makes it very coveted at that point.
Oh, yeah. It's rare. It's super
rare.
Exactly.
There's only one left. All right. Now, what do we have to do to earn that?
I don't know, Dan.
That's the question.
You tell me. What's it worth to you?
I'll trade it for a 2011 iMac.
I'll just say, what I would love to know is, I hope that nobody from IDG is listening, and I hope that somebody from Apple is listening, because the thing I would really like to know is whatever happened to those statues that we gave to Apple. Because Apple would win a handful of Eddie Awards every single year. And it would be hard for us to even get the statues to them. And I never really knew. We never had any idea whether like the person who did the thing that won the award actually like got this trophy and was like, this is awesome. I got a trophy for the thing I did, even though
I sincerely doubt it.
No one must know that I did it, but I have a trophy. Or whether that was just like whatever, and they threw him in the garbage, or they put him in like
the hall
of trophies somewhere, which is just. But this is the thing, we never know. So I do wonder if somewhere, Jason, out there, there's a former Apple employee who has an Eddie Award on their mantle somewhere, because it was the product that they worked on, or because
they were the person who got that worked in the mailroom.
Yeah, I was going to say they found the Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse.
I was going to say that's what it is. There's a Raiders warehouse full of Eddie Awards when they moved to the new campus. Someone's gonna stumble across. They're gonna do the same thing you did. They're gonna move a box over
and they're gonna be like,
open it up like a year
this?
From now, what is, why is this so heavy?
We got all these Oscar statues. Nope, that's a computer he's holding, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, that was, I did find what I was looking for eventually, but it wasn't in that box. I also found, when I say I have one original Mac, that's also not true. I have two, because there was one in a box that must have been sent to me at Macworld at some point. And
did you also intend to leave with it, forget about it, and leave it in a box?
Maybe.
Possibly.
A lot was going on that was a busy time. Because I, you know, again, layoff stories. I did, since I couldn't tell anybody that I was leaving, I came in one weekend and packed up everything that was visible in my office, or that was not visible in my office, but I had to leave everything that was visible so as to maintain the illusion that I wasn't going anywhere.
The illusion.
And so like all my desk drawers were completely empty. So if like somebody had come in and been like, hey, Jason, how's it going? I'm going to look at your desk drawer. The jig would have been up, but who would do that? That would be a crazy person.
Do you have a pen? Yeah, right here in my... No.
So anyway...
No, I do not have a pen.
On that last day, it was hectic because I had to... Whatever was still visible, I had to pack up and move out. that day.
Well, I never had to move my office because my office is still the same office I had.
Yeah, but you were lucky you got to be there on the day that everybody lost their jobs. So you got to leave the office anyway with all of your stuff that you had brought. So
this is true. Yeah, that's 100% true. I did leave with every single thing that I brought that day. And as far as I recall, probably nothing extra. I might have taken a pen or something.
Take some pens or something. Every now and then I do find something that I'm like, I wonder if this belonged to IDG. And it's, other than the Eddie Award, it's nothing particularly spectacular. But I did have those moments of like, is this something I should have probably brought back to the office? Oh, well, it's been 2 years. It's too late now. Every now and then. That just happened to me the other week. I can't even remember what it was. But I was like, I wonder if this was an IDG thing. Oh, well. Like, and they, quite honestly, they have changed their facilities so much. And there are so many fewer people who work there now in that building that, you know, a lot of the stuff, like miscellaneous office supplies, they're like, whatever. They don't even care. But it's one of those things that, like, if I found an object that I was like, you know, if I had still had a week to work at IDG, I would bring this back to the office and leave it there. But instead, I forgot that I had it, and now it's been 2.5 years. So, oh well.
That item is the Clockwise podcast.
I was going to say that item is that 2002 Macromedia Flash preferences file in my system folder.
They definitely want that back. Please, you should print it out and
Here's a binary representation of a file I found that I should have deleted when I left IDG. Sorry about that.
Sorry. It's confidential, clearly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks.
I feel like we did a lot of good work here today.
I think this was solid. This is solid stuff. This is why people I was going to say this is why people are members of Six Colors. I'm not sure it is. I will say that I was told once again by somebody that the Secret Podcast is their favorite podcast. So that person is Stephen Hackett. But wow. Still, don't tell Mike.
Mike probably doesn't listen to this, right?
He's probably too busy. Probably not. But it's a fun podcast. This is one of my favorites, too, because we have no format and we don't care and we just talk. It's nice. And I get to talk to my buddy Dan for half an hour every week.
I know. I get to talk to my buddy Jason. It's nice. We catch up. Yeah. This is our time together, unencumbered by other responsibilities.
And formats. Because indeed. like with Clockwise, it's like stay on time, right? We have no time to spread out on Clockwise. No.
No, there's no extraneous banter on Clockwise. There's like two sentences of banter at the beginning and the end, and that is it. Whether their allotment or quota of banter.
I feel bad sometimes because occasionally we have 3 or 4 sentences of banter, and I end up having to cut them for time.
Right. Well, it's too much. It's extra banter. Yeah. No one ordered a podcast with extra banter.
No. Sometimes it's provided to them, but they probably wouldn't order it.
It's like when they give you that extra pickle.
Except for this podcast, which is just the extra banter.
This is all the banter we took out of those other shows.
Interesting idea. All right. Well, thanks to everybody for being a member of Six Colors. We appreciate it. And if you somehow are listening to this and are not a member, you should rectify that. You just go to sixcolors.com and click on membership. And you can subscribe $6 a month or $60 a year. What a deal. And you also get our monthly newsletter, which I gotta set up the template. It's going to be time for the March Six Colors magazine. Time.
I want to say I felt like the work I did in last month's newsletter, I feel like my back page article there was one of the best things I've ever written. It's a shame that only members will get to read it.
I'll have to make that issue the sample issue at some point so you can just link to it and be like, huh, see?
Yeah, I feel like that would draw people in. Mm. I think that's the exclusive content you get there. You can't get that anywhere else.
Yeah. No, that was fun. Those are fun to do.
They are.
Those are all fun to do, and we have Stephen Hackett doing those, too. That's not why he likes this podcast.
Probably.
Yeah, it could be. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, again, and thanks, Dan. Talk to you later.
Bye, Jason.